sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Come, gonna take a stand, spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my freedom, God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second hour here on this Friday, January 2nd, 2026 edition. Your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us as usual in this time slot is Pastor Chatfield. He always prepares a lesson plan for us to talk about history, talk about the Bible, talk about all the things you're not supposed to talk about on the radio, but we do it anyway. Good morning, sir. Happy New Year.
Good morning. I haven't been on your show since last year. That's a dumb joke.
That's an old one. Yes, sir, it is. What do you got planned for us today?
Okay, I've spent the last, 3 days watching, reading about World War II. Piqued my interest. And I'm glad I'm over it. Just that was a terrible war. War is all terrible. A lot of people died during World War II. Estimates of how many people died during World War II, as low as 50 million, as high as 80 million people died during World War II. By far, the country that lost the most people was the Soviet Union. Maybe as many as 27 million people died in the Soviet Union. In China, maybe 20 million. Now, China was involved in a civil war before this, and it continued after between Chiang Kai-shek and the nationalists and Mao Zedong and the communists. But so it's kind of hard to figure that exactly. But around 20 million, 5 to 6 million Poles died. Poland was the country that had the highest concentration of Jews before World War II. And virtually all the Jews were rounded up and put in concentration camps and exterminated by the Nazis. So that is the way that is. Now, the United States, much less, 407,000 killed as far as in military operations, only 12,000 civilians. United Kingdom, Great Britain, 383,000 military losses, 67,000 civilian losses. So the Allies, as far as Britain, the United States, suffered way less than the Axis powers. Germany, somewhere between 6 and 7 million. Japan, 2 to 3 million. But again, Soviet Union suffered 40 times as many deaths as the United States. It is no wonder during the last few months of the war, they took it out on Germany as they were closing in on Berlin from the east and the Allies were closing in on the west. The war started September 1st, 1939, when Germany invaded Poland and then ended, in Europe it ended on September 2nd, excuse me, on May 8th, 1945, in Japan, September 2nd, 1949. So one is called VE Day, May 8th, and the other one's called VJ Day, okay, September 2nd. Terrible wars. You know, the United States didn't enter the war until December 8th, day after Pearl Harbor. And rather complicated, but war is a bad deal. I watched, there was an old documentary made in the 1970s. It's called The World at War. And watched about 90% of that, well, 15, maybe 20 hours of it. Terrible war, World War II. We'll talk about it on the other side.
Excellent. Perfect spot for a break. Word from our sponsors. We'll be right back. If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Well, I'm sure by now y'all up here in northern Michigan have heard of Curtis Gunsmithing, the little gun shop over here off Picker Lake Road in Petoskey. Mr. Tom Curtis can fix any gun you put in front of him. The Gun Doctor is a certified gunsmith. You won't find one better in the north, and you sure as heck don't have to travel out of town to go see one. Get your quality gun work done right here in your town. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey. Give Tom a call today at 231-838-5571. Come see the Gun Doctor.
A book by Rick Randall, Road Trip, the Good Words book for success. Good words that both young and old alike need to add to their vocabulary to impact their thoughts, emotions, behavior, and ultimately their reality in life. Road Trip's Good Words, positive thinking, and daily pep talk will improve your attitude, impress everyone you come in contact with, and lead to a better, happier, more fulfilling life. Get your copy at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Pass the positive. Road Trip, the Good Words book by Rick Randall.
This is Justin Michael. From day one, our campaign has been about one thing: people, the families, workers, veterans, small business owners, and communities that make Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula home. I'm running because too many people in Washington have forgotten who they serve. I've spent my life advocating for others, listening to their stories, and fighting for solutions that put people first. Our district deserves a representative who shows up, cares, and follows through on what they say they're going to do. It's time to start putting Americans first and Michigans first. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Lansing and Michigan needs to be fixed. Axe My Tax is a citizens' ballot initiative that would eliminate all property taxes in Michigan. Stop the theft of our homes, farms, and businesses by corrupt governmental entities and their outrageous spending. Help us make Michigan affordable to businesses and families once again. Go to axemytax.org, sign the petition, circulate petitions, and donate to help us fix our great state. Stop the stealing that's going on in Lansing. Join us. Go to axemytax.org.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment of our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield regarding World War II. And Pastor Chatfield, there were some pretty key battles and also some pretty key generals that were involved in World War II.
Right. Let me talk about the major battles. This is somewhat arbitrary when you say, what were the major battles? Well, the first one was the Battle for France in 1940. The Germans were just way ahead of the French. The French were hiding behind their Maginot Line, long fortifications that separated them and Germany. But the Germans simply decided not to attack at the Maginot Line, went through the Ardennes, which is a very thickly forested area that nobody thought an army could penetrate. Defensives there for the French were minimal. They swept through it in about 3 weeks. So in May of 1940, France fell. I mean, World War I had taken like 4 years. You're in trenches. Nobody expected that. Beyond that, they trapped a large portion of the Brits and the French. And if it wasn't for the miracle at Dunkirk, the evacuation, which is hard to call an evacuation a miracle, but they evacuated hundreds of thousands of military. It could have been even worse. So by the summer of 1940, the Germans were in great shape. I mean, militarily speaking, they had controlled virtually all of Europe. They decided after that, the Battle of Britain, which started in July, they thought that they could bomb Britain into submission. And though they did kill a lot of people and did a lot of damage, the RAF, Royal Air Force, was able to stop them, and they gave up that. That's where Churchill said, never in the course of human history has so much been owed by so many to so few. And so the Royal Air Force kind of stopped them, but Britain was really still very weak, and Germany was in charge. And so all through 1940, Germany was winning. Now, there was a lot of battles in North Africa. There were battles in Norway. There were battles even way out in with the British against the Japanese out in Indonesia area, the South Pacific, even before Pearl Harbor. I mean, this was truly a worldwide war. I mean, it was all over the place, and it was fought many different places. A very fateful decision by Hitler is he decided that in June of 1941, he was going to invade the Soviet Union. This was called Operation Barbarossa, the battle. And they swept through Russia, swept through the Ukraine, then Russia. And it was just victory after victory after victory. They were kind of checked at Moscow. They were, Leningrad was in siege. But when they get to Stalingrad later, they basically get stopped, and they have to surrender their huge army. A lot of those guys were the guys that were so successful at in France. And it was critical. The Battle of Stalingrad, one of the turning points of the war. August 1942, February 1943, basically the entire German army that went there surrendered. And it was even Hitler couldn't spin this. That was a defeat. And at that point, the Russians began to march back. Okay. And so took them a while. It was a huge psychological boost for the Soviet Union. They were able to keep their resources. The Battle of Stalingrad, it was the winter, and it was the resilience of the Soviet people. The Germans were mistaken about some things. I mean, 'tis true. You see, Hitler hated communism, and he kind of thought that the Ukrainians and others that were subjugated peoples by the Soviet Union would come in and help him, or look at the Germans as saviors. The vast majority didn't. And the Russian people fought very bravely, doggedly. It was a total war, and if Stalingrad would have fallen to the Germans, who knows? Germany would not have decided, if Hitler would not have decided to invade the Soviet Union, who knows? Who knows what would have happened? Now, for the United States, of course, we've talked about this so many times. We entered the war after the surprise attack on Pearl Harbor, December 7th.
Before you go there, December 7, 1941, all of these battles and these countries falling, like you mentioned, France and other countries in
almost all of Europe.
All of Europe, 1940, heading into 1941. How was it that, because I remember you talking a lot about Churchill lobbying Roosevelt to, you guys got to help us out. You got to get involved in this because after we fall, you're next. It's going to come to your shores. I mean, there was a lot of warning in 1940 and early 1941, a lot of pressure being put on Roosevelt in the United States. Why did they not heed that, those warnings from Churchill?
There was a very strong America First movement. Charles Lindbergh, the first man to fly solo across the Atlantic, was one of the leaders. It's not our war. We're not getting involved in a European war. It's not our war. And Roosevelt wanted to help. But at that time, the Republican Party was much more, not just America First, but isolationist. Now, here's the deal for me. Am I America First guy? Yes. But am I an isolationist? No. Now, I saw a discussion, it was obviously recorded, I didn't see it live, between Tucker Carlson and the a British reporter, one of the, it's on CNN, it's on Fox sometimes. Oh, wait, what is that fellow's name who's now escapes me? But, and Tucker Carlson was saying, look, Europe was not our war during World War II. And the other guy says, well, didn't you think that Hitler would come after, you think he'd be satisfied with Europe? And Tucker says, well, you're speaking hypotheticals. Duh. By the way, just to my point, that's just not good. America First, yes. Isolationist, no. We can't be like that. And as you are aware, there's a big fight, argument in the Republican Party between what we call neoconservatives, which is not me, isolationalist, which is kind of like Tucker Carlson, and and with Trump being in the middle. Trump is America First, but he's not an isolationalist. He is America First, but he's good friends with Israel. He's America First, but he doesn't like, he's trying to stop a war over there in between the Ukraine and Russia. And to say, as a lot of the people listening on the radio have now been turned to the, not just America First, not just MAGA. And there's people in Congress, like this green lady. She's not just America First. She's isolationist. There's others that are isolationists saying, look, it's not our war. We're not going to get involved. And just so you know, listeners, when we declared war on Japan, Germany took the initiative and declared war on us. So it was pretty easy for us to declare war on Germany. We jumped into World War II with both feet. Now, if Germany would not have declared war on us, but was says this action by the Japanese was totally outside our endorsement, we had nothing to do with it, it would have been an argument whether or not the United States would have declared war on Germany as well as Japan. But Germany took that, Hitler took that choice away from us. He declared war on us. But, and there's the big argument today, still, it's not our war. It's not our fight.
Right.
There's a lot of people that are, and again, I think we need to discern here, in my view. Yes, America First, but no to isolationist. You can't be a total isolationist. Like, you can't be like we were in the 19th century. The world is, the oceans are too small now. We're not totally protected now. Have we gone too far? Do I want to go back to the years of George W. Bush? No. I don't want a worldwide war. I don't want a forever war. No, I don't want to do that. But neither do I want to go to the isolationist ideas promoted by others either. Because it's so right. there's a balance here, and it seems to me that President Trump has struck the right balance.
Well, when I hear Marjorie Taylor Greene and Rand Paul and Tom Massey, you know, I don't get their logic, because it, evidently they don't know world history. They don't know that, you know, these alliances working together aren't happy. Hitler wasn't going to be happy with just Europe, and you knew darn well. And I want you to explain real quick here before the break, explain the relationship between Japan and Hitler. How was that relationship? How was it that Japan attacked us on Pearl Harbor versus Germany?
Well, because Japan was in the Pacific, Germany wasn't. Germany really didn't have, their interests were not that, I suppose they had some interest in Africa and some places in Asia, but pretty much Soviet Union. But Japan attacked us thinking that we were going to cut off their supply of oil, and they wanted to dominate the Pacific Rim. And they were uneasy with us. And while they were negotiating a peace treaty, in the very midst of it, they attacked. And it was a surprise. And it, listen, again, you've heard me talk about this. It was a surprise. Please don't, listeners, don't jump to this. Well, obviously, Roosevelt knew. Everybody knew. Roosevelt wanted Japan to attack us so that we could declare war on Japan, because Roosevelt wanted to jump into the war. Conspiracy theories, I'm not buying that. We knew something was going to happen, but nobody expected an attack on Hawaii. Nobody expected that. Now, on the other side, I want to talk about the Battle of the Bulge, but there was some intelligence people that were saying, hey, there's something going on here. But they and there was one guy who was saying, you know, Pearl Harbor is not completely invulnerable, but he was dismissed. But it wasn't like the president or the American Navy wanted that to happen. It's the same argument. I hear this constantly, that the October 7th of Hamas from Gaza into Israel, either one, Israel planned it and promoted it, or two, knew about it and wanted it to happen, so that after they lost 1,000 or 2,000 people, they could go in there and wipe out Gaza. In other words, they immediately jump to a conclusion that the Israeli intelligence is too smart. They had to have known. They let it happen, or they planned it even worse, so that they could go in there and commit genocide on the Palestinian people. That, what I just said, there are a lot of people believe that now. You immediately jump to a conclusion. Listen, it's the same thing they say about 9/11. Well, that was planned by George W. Bush. That was done by the Americans. We knew there was things, something was going on. There was a lot of chatter. Nobody knew. How can you? And so now you start blaming 9/11 and President Bush. To me, that's just silly. It's silly. And anybody can come up with some wild conspiracy theory. No, that's not true. And it was indeed an intelligence failure, as was Pearl Harbor an intelligence failure, as was the October 7th by Hamas into Israel. That was an intelligence failure. Hey, intelligence agencies are not perfect. They don't know everything.
Right.
And I just want to dismiss all, to me, that those things are crazy, crazy conspiracy theories.
Yeah. Good spot for a break. Bottom of the half hour here on this Friday. I'm Trucker Randy Bishop. He's Pastor Rusty Chatfield. We'll be right back.